Hi, this is Steve Chandler, and today we're going to talk about a distinction between two things, serving and pleasing. They're completely distinct activities, and yet people get them confused to their detriment. So the name of this program is Serving versus Pleasing People. So let's take a look at that. As we grow up, when we're children, we are programmed to please people. That's really what we look to do. We're looking around and there are these two parents or guardians, and they are giving us life, and they're giving us food and shelter, and all we have to do is please them. And that's what we learn to do, is to please the powers that be, not to serve them, because at a young age, service is absurd. The idea that a small child can truly serve one of these powerful, godlike adults really doesn't fit. It doesn't get in the mind. So what the child seeks to do is find a way to be pleasing to the parent so the shelter will come, the food will come, the candy will come, the playtime will come, the staying up late will come, and that's all from pleasing. And parents actually reinforce this. What parents do is they say, well, I'm very proud of you. You were very good today. And all the praise from parents comes from, you have pleased me. You pleased me today. We went to that visit and you were so good. You weren't rowdy. You pleased me. You were very pleasing to mother. You were very pleasing to father. So what we learn to do is please. How do I please them? How do I get on their good side? How do I make them happy instead of serving? And this is really a survival technique and a survival strategy. People build their entire personalities around what works as far as pleasing others when they're growing up. And they figure out a strategy. Maybe I'll please by doing this. Maybe I'll please by doing that. And they learn how to please people, how to win them over. Now, here's the problem with that. We are programmed to please. That's how we survive when we're little. That's how we create our personalities. That's how we are programmed psychologically. The biological computer gets programmed to please people. Now, the problem with that is that when we get out into adult life and we're now grown up and we're seeking to make money and make a success of ourselves and have a good career, what happens is all that programming is still there. So we go out into the world, and now we're trying to please people again. And this time it doesn't work, because when adults try to please other adults, it's counterproductive. It doesn't really work out, and it doesn't move life along. It doesn't move a career along. It's considered apple polishing or boot licking or worse, and it really confuses people. Yet, the programming is in there to try to please. So if I attempt to do business with someone, I'm spending all my time trying to please them, trying to set up the meeting at the right time, and trying to get a win-win and win them over and win their approval and be pleasing to that person instead of truly serving. Because service is what leads to success and financial well-being, not pleasing. And we get that mixed up. So the thing to remember is that we've been heavily programmed to please other people, to charm them, to win them over, to be political, and to gossip and do all kinds of office politics and strategize and scheme and scam. And those things flat out don't work. Those things are counterproductive. And what really is important to keep in mind is how programmed we are to do that. We do it automatically. In order to really succeed in life, we have to reprogram. We have to put in new programming, let that old programming go, like it's software that we're now going to just get rid of. We're going to delete it. We're going to toss it in the waste paper basket because it has no more value to us anymore. Now, if we look at this heavy program that we walk around with, what's the business application? If I look at the distinction between serving people, which leads to money and career advancement, or pleasing people, which is wheel spinning and leads to nothing at all, Let's take a look at the business application of it. How does that show up in business? It's really funny because my co-author of a number of small business books, Sam Beckford, and I spent years working with small businesses, really hundreds of them over the years. And we coached them and we trained them and we worked with them. The biggest problem they had was not understanding service. They didn't understand the difference between serving people and pleasing people. So they would spend all their time trying to get the word out, trying to have a good name, trying to get known, trying to do all these amazing things that are absolutely worthless when compared to serving. Serving is so much different. If you would, in your business career, serve people all day, you wouldn't have to get the word out. You wouldn't have to do all this pleasing that you do. Most people spend so much time trying to please others, it's as if the other people are the grown-ups, the other people have the money, the grown-ups have the money, the authority figures who have this money that I want need to be pleased, and we drop right into this childhood mindset of how do I please this person versus how do I serve this person. And so all my communications are now poisoned by this desire to please, which is counterproductive, versus a true desire to serve. Now, let me give you an example of this that I use all the time. This is the ultimate business application of how powerful it is to serve versus how weak it is to simply please. Now, service is something that often carries with it a demonstration. And I've used this example so many times that those of you listening to me now who have heard this a million times from me in person, just roll your eyes, heave a big sigh, and carry on. You'll hear it again. Or maybe you'd like to hear it in a new, fresh way and apply it to your own business. Back in the 1940s and the 1950s, there were two kinds of vacuum cleaner salespeople. One salesman would come to the door with a vacuum cleaner under his arm and a list of benefits and features and try to sell the woman of the house this vacuum cleaner. And he would be all pleasing and charming, and he would talk about how pleasing and charming the product is and all the features and the benefits, and the woman would say, "Not right now, thank you, we're on a budget," or, "We can't afford it, it looks nice." Now, that's one way. That's called trying to please your way into someone's heart. That's called trying to win someone over in order to later get money. Now, this is what people do all the time in their business. They try to win people over with ads, with Facebook spams, all kinds of things. They win people over. They try to charm people over to their website, charm people into their business, and it's all a manipulation, and it's all received as manipulation. It flat out doesn't work. Now, let's look at vacuum cleaner salesman number two. What does he do that's so different? Well, he walks to the door, and he has no vacuum cleaner under his arm, and he talks to the woman and says, "What I would really like to do is demonstrate to you a way that you could clean your carpet so well and so effectively that you wouldn't even believe it. May I just show you something that will only take me 5 minutes?" And the woman says, "Well, sure," she's curious now. He walks in and he throws this horrific dirt on her carpet. And he says, "Now look, normally you'd be shocked at that. You'd be upset because you know you would not be able to get that up." And the woman would say, "Well, right, what are you going to do? I don't like this. This is not good." And he says, "Now, if I could show you a machine that would get that up and have your carpet be even cleaner than before I walked in, would you be interested?" Well, you better have something. So he would then go out to his car, would come in with the machine and plug it in and get down on his knees and clean up that dirt in a better way than she had ever seen before, and continue to clean the rest of the carpet for her in ways that she had never seen. Her carpet is now cleaner than it's ever been. He would stand up and say, "Now, what do you think of that?" And she would say, "I want it. What does it cost?" And they would work it out. So that's called serving. That's called direct service. Instead of pleasing and winning over and talking into and persuading It's called direct service. Now, a lot of the people I work with are in my coaching school. And this is my third coaching school now that I'm doing. And coaches learn in my school that the best way to get coaching clients is to serve people. Serve a prospective client. Don't sell the prospective client. Don't talk the prospective client into being coached by you, but actually serve that person somehow. Find out what problem they have. Sit with them. Be with them. Work with them. Show them how coaching works the same way that the vacuum salesperson did. Serve the person. And if you serve that person directly, that person will want to continue working with you. Why? Because service is really powerful. Service is direct. Service is a direct application of love and effectiveness from one person to another. Whereas pleasing is the opposite. Pleasing is manipulating. Pleasing is, in a way, tricking someone into being willing to try something. Whereas services, you cut through all that. You go direct to the person and you start serving them right away. And it always works. And when people in business figure out a way to serve people all day long, their business grows and grows and grows. When, on the other hand, they spend their day trying to attract people, trying to lure people into their business, trying to get new business, trying to talk people into it, that's not service. That doesn't serve anyone. That causes people to raise all kinds of sales resistance because nobody wants that. Let's take a look at this distinction as it applies to owner-victim. Because I love to apply things to owner-victim because I believe owner-victim is the basic distinction of everything. I'm either taking ownership of my own energy and my own spirit, or I'm a victim of power outside of me. Those are the two ways I can do life. It's always my choice. Now, serving is ownership. Serving is taking ownership of how I interact with someone and make their life better. I take full responsibility for demonstrating to them how their life can be better. Not talking them into it, not tricking them, not persuading them, not getting them to see it, but actually demonstrating it by serving them. So that's ownership. I take ownership of the communication that shows them in a way that's completely unquestionable that my service serves them, my product serves them. Now let's look at the opposite. Let's look at the victim side. Victim mindset, which is I'm a victim of circumstance, all power is outside of me, that's the pleasing mindset. That anybody who has money that I want or anybody who has power in an organization that I want their approval, I want their goodwill, I will now try to please them. That's the victim mindset. And the victim mindset says all power is outside of me. I don't have any power. I'm a victim of circumstance. And therefore, I have to keep pleasing people in order to be okay, in order to be safe, or in order to succeed. Although victims really don't even use the word succeed in their thought processes. Their words are more about survival and being safe and being comfortable and being okay, kind of getting through this thing. So owner is serving, victim is pleasing. The victim mindset says that because so much power is outside of me and because my fate is up to other people, I will now simply try to please them any way I can. So I will call them on the phone, and I will flatter them, and I will tell them that I really don't want to take too much of their time, and I will go through this long ritual of trying to please the person instead of doing something that would serve that person. And that's the victim mindset. So it's important to see, on the one hand, serving, a commitment to serve others. How can I serve someone with this? Is total ownership. I'm taking full ownership of connecting with someone else so that they can experience at the level of the heart and the soul and the mind this great service. On the other hand, the victim says, I have to do a lot before that happens. I have to get someone to even want to like me and talk to me. I have to win someone over. I've got to do a really complicated dance before I can even begin to talk about them paying me for anything. So the victim is always in that kind of grotesque dance. They're always doing something in order to. And they do the hint-hint selling, and they hope that someone will call them back someday, and no one ever calls back. And then they wonder what they're doing wrong, and they say, how do I sell? Give me a book on it. And it gets worse and worse, and the victim is always a victim, because victim thoughts lead to victim action, which is basically no action, or the action of pleasing and winning people over. So ownership is service. Victim is pleasing. I like to use the example of the alcoholic in the family. Now, maybe it would please my brother who's an alcoholic if I made him a drink. That would please him. So I make him a drink. I make him another drink. That pleases him. And he likes me. And I do it in the name of keeping the peace. Well, okay, that's pleasing. Now, if I were to go to my brother and say, walk with me in this room, you will find the rest of your family members. We are doing an intervention on you. That will not please my brother, but that may serve my brother. And service is true love, whereas pleasing is just manipulation, it's flirtation, it's all kinds of political dancing around, it's schmoozing, it's networking, it's trying to win people over, and it leads to nothing good, ever. So, service on the one hand, pleasing on the other. If I spend my year, my month, my week, or my day serving people, and always asking myself, even inside a conversation, how may I serve? What would serve this person right now? How could I serve this person? Instead of how could I sell this person, or how could I get this person to fill in the blank, how could I serve this person? If I spend my life serving, and if I spend my day serving, the end result of that is love and respect. People love and respect people who serve them, truly serve them, truly make a difference. On the other hand, if I'm pleasing people all the time, and I'm always trying to please you and saying what you want to hear and trying to get you to do things and manipulate you, then what happens is mistrust. There's a kind of inauthentic friendliness that gets set up between us. And that person doesn't trust me at all. And that person never really knows for sure what I'm up to. And that's the end result of pleasing. So I like people to think about their deathbed. What happens when I'm on my deathbed, looking back on my life? Will I ask myself, how many people have I pleased? Did I really please people? Were they pleased with what I did? Did I win them over? That's usually not the question when someone's on their deathbed. Really, what occurs on the deathbed is this. Who have I served? What difference have I made? What difference has my life made? Is life different because I was here on earth? Did I make a difference for people? That's really what people wonder. They don't wonder, how many people did I please? How many people did I win over? How many people did I fool? How many people did I get to think one way or another about me? How many people did I trick into liking me? That's never what people think of on their deathbed. What they think of is this. What's different because I was here? What kind of a difference did I make? Who did I serve? Did I spend my days serving? Yes or no? And if the answer is yes, what a beautiful feeling, what a wonderful, peaceful smile coming over the person.